Hi, I'm Angela Smith. Thanks for listening to Reading the Bible Together. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thanks for giving and for sharing with a friend. Welcome to Reading the Bible Together. I'm your host, Angela Smith, and today we are starting a new series. I keep affectionately calling it Catechism, but I understand that that might be a triggering word for some of you, so we are calling it Fundamentals of the Faith. We're going to be looking at things like the Apostles' Creed, Communion, Baptism, and so many more. I am so grateful that you're joining us. Let's get into the show.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Today's foundation of faith that we're talking about is the Apostles' Creed, and I am so grateful to welcome back my friend, Misty Harper Anderson. She is Executive Director of Walk Right In Ministry. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Hello. It's good to be here.
I am so excited about this because we both grew up in traditional churches where this was a part of our Sunday services.
Yeah, I remember even just a few years ago, I was a worship leader in a church, and there still is a worship song that is this creed. Mm-hmm. And the lead pastor saying, well, we're not really a creedal church. And that wasn't something that had occurred to me because I grew up in a creedal church. We said this every single Sunday, and it was part of what we did. I never really thought about what it meant, but it mm-hmm. was part of what we said every Sunday. And so then hearing it through music, it reminded me of a childhood, right? Like there was some nostalgia to it, and then brought me to the place of, I'm a big believer of, why do I believe what I believe? And then even then, wanting to dig deeper into what this creed was all about and why it existed.
So talk just a real quick little background of, because we had the same experience where we were in churches where this was read without having personal relationships with Jesus ourselves mm-hmm. and then coming to know Him. What was that like with the Apostles' Creed for you?
Yeah. Well, it was this moment of, or moments, I would say, do I really believe this? Do I really believe all of these lines, all of these words that somebody else has written? Do I believe them? And so it gave me a chance to go back and look at really intentionally what this says and do I believe it? Thankfully, yes, right? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, there are a lot of things of the faith of my childhood where for a time I'd stepped away from some of that because it felt like I was just making the moves through these things. And yet now coming back to them a bit more, I can have such appreciation for that because it's similar to when you have a child in a program and they're memorizing scripture. And maybe they don't know why, but it's something then that's part of, it becomes part of who they are and can fall back on. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about this, is that at the time I didn't know why I was saying it, but I just did it. But now it still is in there and I can put the meaning behind it with it.
Yeah, my experience is similar. I was in a tradition that had confirmation. And so we would go on a retreat and the pastor would come with us and then he would meet with us one-on-one and ask us to confirm what it was that we believed. And so he asked what we believed and I started reciting the Apostles' Creed. And he said, no, in your own words. And I didn't have my own words at the time.
Yeah.
But what was cool is that, and that's just is not where God chose to reveal himself to me. He revealed himself to me somewhere else. But I was able to go back and meet with that pastor and tell him, I get it. I got it.
Oh, that's so cool.
And we wept together because I got it, because I understood it. Let's start out with a little bit of the history of where the Apostles' Creed comes from. Because it's not like the Lord's Prayer that we find in Matthew. We don't find this like this in scripture. Right. So where did it come from?
Okay, so this was really fun for me. You know that I have this Bible nerd side of me, mm-hmm. theological nerd side of me. And so this brought me back into some of my seminary books, which, hey, good news, I held on to them. And so some of the things I was reading was that at the time of this, this is a few hundred years after the death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. It's also a few hundred years after the apostles, right? So you have all of this first generation of Christianity, and it's gone. And so you have men and women who have been building their faith. Well, at the same time, you have these other groups of people that believe things that are slightly not Christianity, mm-hmm. right? The deity of Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, all of these things are coming into question at this time. And so it became this need of exploring, what do these things actually mean? And as we'll talk about in a little bit, each line of this creed has scriptural reference to it. And so this was something that, after it was written, was used in part as a baptismal confession. Mm. So I love that you shared that that was part of your confirmation journey, because in some faith traditions that have infant baptism, confirmation, I would say, is similar to adult baptism. You know, of course, there's not water involved, and there are different meanings to it, but it is this mature person confession of faith. And that's what these were. It was giving language to what people believed and pointing them in a clear direction of, this is actually what we believe about Jesus. This is actually what we believe about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how this all came together.
I took one graduate class, and it was church history. And it was so interesting. And what stood out to me, because we have the Apostles' Creed, we also have the Nicene Creed, which came from the Council of Nicaea. And just as you were explaining, these gathering of people trying to flesh out what was doctrine, what was leading people to Jesus, not leading people to religion.
Yes, yes.
And I realized that I didn't appreciate the work that they did to do that, to go back and forth, and, you know, for years to work on these creeds to give us a foundation. I mean, we stand on their shoulders. I mean, yes. For hundreds of years, people have recited this to reinforce their faith.
Yes. Yes, and I think to a certain degree, this can come to the same place of sometimes we pray through scripture, or that's a practice that I've adopted in the last, I don't know, 10 or so years. When I don't have my own words to pray, mm-hmm. I will pray through a psalm. This too, sometimes if I don't have my own words to explain what I believe, I can, yes, stand on the shoulders of the people who wrote this creed and say, yes, I believe every one of these things. And then there does become the, well, why do you believe it? So then you get an opportunity to explain that, or I can pray this. We prayed this as a prayer as part of our Sunday morning services, and it gives me words when I don't have my own.
And there's nothing like being in a group of people and reciting your beliefs yeah. like this. There's something that's so affirming and encouraging and empowering
yes.
about that.
Yeah.
So I actually had never gone line by line and looked for the biblical evidence of these statements. And it was a real journey for me.
Yeah. When I saw all of that you've put together for this, I was like, well done. Well done, Angie. Like, really, this is
thank you,
such
internets.
Beautiful work.
I did check everything, but
yes, the internet's a very powerful place.
Well, and this is a good time to mention, if you want to get the study guide, you can head over to the show notes for this, or you can go to myfaithradio.com and look for the Foundations of Faith series. The study guide will be in there for every week, and then you can go through on your own. Is there anything that stands out? Because I had a few things that kind of stood out to me of, like, I've said that, but do I really believe it?
Mm-hmm. Well, so the faith tradition that I grew up in was the Roman Catholic Church. And so as a child, as an adolescent saying this, and you get to the line where I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, I was like, wow, I am part of it, right? I am a Roman Catholic. Everything is built on this. And actually what I've learned now is that, and even I learned it in the Roman Catholic faith, that it's not the same thing, right? The writer of this is not talking about one specific denomination. I'm going to quote one of my seminary professors. I found an article that he wrote. His name is Dr. Joshua Griever, and this is what he wrote. The line expresses the Christian confession that God, in his power and grace, has created for himself the church, which consists of a people devoted to him, holy, from across all time and places, Catholic. This line in the creed follows the Son's redemptive work, the Son being Jesus Christ, and the Christian belief in the Holy Spirit undergirds the notion that the church is the product of God's redemptive work in Christ by the Holy Spirit. It's the church, right? Mm-hmm. The big
it's
C
a small
church.
C. Yeah. Yeah, it's a small yes. C Catholic,
yes.
Not a capital
big C
Catholic.
Church. Yeah. Yes. So that was really clarifying for me as I was growing up and getting a broader understanding of what that word meant.
Yeah, well, so I grew up in the Lutheran church. So when I read that, I was like, I'm not Catholic. I'm Lutheran. We're Protestant. And so I had to go through the same learning process of, oh, this is just church.
Right.
Yeah.
So it brings us to an even playing field. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So the place that I landed the longest and found myself really dwelling was he suffered under Pontius Pilate. Because I knew that he had suffered under the high priest. I knew that he was flogged. But I thought, didn't he just appear in front of Pilate? And Pilate's like, this guy's not guilty, but you all want me to set Barabbas free instead, so I'm going to wash my hands. Mm-hmm. And then to read in John 19 that it goes into detail about the suffering that Jesus went through on our behalf, that this is where we see... Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. Hail, King of the Jews, they mocked as they slapped him across the face. I mean, that just stopped me in my tracks also, because for the other verses, we're talking about him being crucified and died and like the suffering of Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, wrecked me as I was going through this.
Even now I have tears in my eyes. Mm-hmm. When I think about... The men who put Jesus through this, the men that were, whether you knew at the time that there was something special about Jesus or not, being able to inflict that much harm on a person and standing in their face and mocking them as they're already physically suffering, mm-hmm. there he would have been, as a man, humiliated physically in pain, and then yet there are these other people that still have something within them that says it's okay to do this to another person. And the lack of courage in Pilate himself, because one of the things that you can learn about Pilate is that he was in a really precarious position, trying to please Rome and trying to please the Jews at the same time, and yet didn't have the courage within him to stand up for what was right. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that God used that. God knew that this was going to happen. God was going to use this for the redemption of all of humankind. And yet the human roles that are played in all of this, it's heart-wrenching.
It is. And I think because I've been thinking a lot lately about the importance of the question, the importance of how you answer this question, who do you say that Jesus is? Mm-hmm. And what do you do with that? Mm-hmm. And to your point, talking about that they saw him as someone to be mocked. They saw him as someone to be flogged.
Yeah,
it wrecks me, because we studied Mark earlier, and Mark starts out, this is the Messiah, the Son of God. And I feel like lately I've had to really double down, especially like with conversations happening, like I've found myself doubling down on who Jesus is. And I think that's probably why going through this and looking at his suffering that he did for me and you and everybody who's this is what he did for us. Yeah. You know, and when we see him with the thieves on the cross, one is taunting, saying, you know, get us down. And Jesus had the ability to do that.
Yes.
He could have done that.
He could have done that.
And he chose to stay there. Mm-hmm. Just wrecks me.
Mm-hmm. And it's why when people can come to understand who the real Jesus is, mm-hmm. you see this compassion of God, right? If we are seeing this is the face of God in human form, this is Jesus, and knowing that he can come alongside us in our suffering, knowing that there is not a thing that we can experience for which he cannot have compassion, It's why, especially in majority world countries, especially in countries where there are where there is great oppression, and included in the U.S. too, it's why Jesus is somebody that people can believe in, because they can relate to him as the suffering servant.
Mm-hmm. The broken.
The broken. Mm-hmm. And it goes all levels of brokenness, right? For me, it was this man died for me. And I've done all of these things that maybe from the human perspective, some can be forgiven, some not. I don't know. But Jesus takes all of that mm-hmm. on himself at the cross. Astounding.
It is. Well, and then to think about that it goes on. He was buried. He was descended into hell. Let's pause there before we get to the resurrection, because that's where I'm going. I want to go to the resurrection. Another thing that kind of gave me pause was he descended into hell. And I have the scripture references, but I have to say that this is one I think that I still wrestle with mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard people talk about him going down, getting the keys, but I feel like this is one that I'm still wrestling with.
Well, and I wonder, too, if this has something to do with, and we certainly don't have time to talk about this, but views of hell.
Yeah, because it could be he descended to death, to the dead.
And separation from God.
Right.
If we view hell as eternal separation from God, and you have Jesus on the cross saying, Father, why have you forsaken me? Mm. In that moment, he is bearing the weight of sin, the sin of the world on his shoulders, and feeling the separation from his Father that he has never once felt. And I know that that was actually before his physical death. Mm-hmm. But then I wonder what's happening in these 3 days before he rises again, right? It's more a separation. And I think that's what we see in Scripture, is the separation that he has from the Father.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm still going to have to, this is awkward, you know, to have like not saying anything on radio. But, like, that's something I'm going to have to, because that is such a good point of, it does bring up your view of what hell is.
Yeah.
Is hell a destination, or is it a state of being?
Yes. And maybe it's both. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that, and I'm sure there are people that will disagree with me on that. I don't know that the Bible paints a clear picture of what we can expect as what hell is. There's a lot of language around it. There's a lot of language in Revelation, too, around what it is, where it is. Mm-hmm. And yet I still think it's one of those things where you love Jesus, you love Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can disagree on what we think this is going to be, and that we won't know until we're not part of this earth right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think it brings up also our views of heaven.
Yes.
Which have been heavily influenced by culture.
Yes.
That have seeped into the church. And so, and even soul, like the idea of what a soul is.
Yeah.
Now we're getting way off topic. But I think it's important to come back and to be able to, this is where faith comes in. And it's not a blind faith. It's not that I'm saying, oh, I don't know what I believe, but I'm just going to say this because this is the right thing.
Yeah.
I will still struggle and wrestle, but I'm leaning toward the Lord. And I'm leaning toward, you know what, God, I trust you.
Yes.
No matter what.
Yes.
That I don't have to know all of the things, not to say I don't push into them, but I don't have to know all the things to believe. I will believe you even when I don't fully understand it.
One of the gifts that God has given me in my life is in a few different venues in my life, the ability to mentor young believers. And I mean young in age and in faith. And something that I say continually is, God is big enough for our questions. Mm-hmm. God is good with our questions. And so we press in, right? When we have these questions, we press in. For all of my days, there will just be different things that I'm wrestling with. And I think that there's beautiful, my spiritual director calls it courageous humility. Mm. And we're going to ask the questions. We're going to wrestle with these things, some of them which are included in this creed, and maybe for all of our days.
Mm-hmm. But to keep leaning in, to keep pressing in.
Yes.
So he descended into hell. And on the third day, he arose again and he ascended into heaven. So back to like going back and leaning into his suffering, to leaning into his crucifixion and his death, and that he allowed himself to stay there because of this.
Yeah.
Because he knew, yes. Hebrews tells us, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, mm-hmm. which messes with me too. That when we have suffering in our life, it can feel really all-consuming. But if we can see beyond it, not to say that then it should be easy or not hard, but to know there is something more beyond it. So it goes back to that, I'm going to trust God even if, even when I'm suffering.
Yes. And to know that the impact of our sufferings might come decades later. Mm-hmm. And they might come out of the stories that are told because of our response and our suffering. Several years ago, I had a friend, she was 29 years old. In a year's time, she had a baby that they knew would be born, stillborn. Mm-hmm. And so she delivered that baby. We had a celebration of life for this infant. And in the months leading up to his birth, they went to baseball parks. They took him to all of the places that they had hoped that they would get to take him as a living child, but they took him there in utero. Mm-hmm. In that same year, she was diagnosed with colon cancer, and then in the following year, she died. And in all of this, her middle name is Joy, mm-hmm. and in all of this, it's not that she wasn't sad. It's not that she didn't ask the question why. It's that she still loved Jesus throughout all of this. And the example of her life has impacted my life forever. Mm-hmm. And multiple other people, too. Her telling her story in different venues, in different audiences, has had this very long-lasting impact. And that's what I think that we see in suffering of people who have faith in Christ, is how do we respond to it? Because everybody is going to have some sort of suffering at varying levels. And really then the choice is how to respond to it. And remember, we're not Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. I say that to a lot of people too. Remember, you're not Jesus. So whatever it is, we're not asking for perfection. You get to be real about this. Jesus was real about this. And can we still give glory to God in the midst of it? Can we still remember that God will use this for his good, for our good, for the good of those who love him?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So then we go on to I believe in the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting that the Holy Spirit just gets a line there, which I think has probably been a little bit representative of how we've seen the Holy Spirit dealt with in the church. Just a line of, oh yeah, and the Holy Spirit.
By the way.
That's, you know, in coming weeks, we're going to do a whole episode on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I mean, the third day he rose again to bring the life everlasting. Is there any last thing you want to talk about before we wrap up here?
That I'm glad you're making a big deal out of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Mm-hmm. It's something, and one of the things I think that people will see in their study guide is this scripture reference to Colossians 2:6. So, you know, a couple of years ago, we were involved in church planting, and Colossians 2:6 and 7 were the verses for our church. And now, even though we're not a formal church, we are a weekly Bible study, and we have been leaning into this verse and leaning into the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And what new thing are you asking us to do? And because of all of what this creed says and the ascension of Jesus, that's why we get to have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And what new thing is the Lord asking you to do?
And the power of the Holy Spirit is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Mm, that's the power that's within us. Thank you so much, Misty Harper Anderson, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
And thank you for joining us for this conversation about the Apostles' Creed. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I hope you're challenged. And as you have doubts, things that you wrestle with, I just want to encourage you to keep leaning into the Lord and standing on his word. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Reading the Bible Together. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes and share it with friends so together we can inspire more people to read the Bible together.